Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Every once in a while,
we gotta the religious people.
There are 720 churches in Charlotte. I'm sure we can find one where you can stuff your face.
Shut up.
Quit pointing out the problem.
Men will be proud, arrogant, abusive. You watch some of today's rock star pastors, and you will see every characteristic Paul listed played out in vivid detail on the church stage.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is appropriate.
I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca
Highway 75.
When along came a semi with a high end canvas covered load.
Crazy Tennessee drivers.
Going to Winnemucca Mac with me, you can ride.
Chattanooga.
And so I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside.
It was a rent a car.
He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand.
Traffic.
And I said, listen. Traveled every road in this here land.
This is Wretched Radio. I just returned from Nashville, Tennessee. That place, it's hopping. Imagine New York City. You'll have to go find YouTube footage of this. When people used to live there and the streets used to be packed with people, that's at least the downtown area of Nashville. By the Bridgestone Center, the Country Music Hall of Fame, which I have to confess to you, I thought was pretty cool. That's right. I thought it was pretty cool. The Country Museum, and the streets were just filled with people. It was really nice to see because most downtown areas, they're kafritz these days. There aren't many folks hanging out at all. Downtown Nashville. Woo. And the honky tonks. I do believe that's how you pronounce it. The honky tonks. Is that correct, Jimmy?
You enunciate it too much. It's honky tonk. That's all you have to say. One word.
Just one word.
Just one word.
All righty. Well, that's where I was, and it was really nice to see the industry apparently thriving. And according to all reports, it is an industry. The Country Music Hall of Fame, it was pretty groovy, I don't mind telling you. You got to see Johnny Cash, man, and all of the big celebrities in country music that, whilst you may not listen to their music, you're familiar with their names. Interesting to watch the transformation of music, especially in country over the last 100 years. Had a great time at that museum. Went to another museum and didn't have as great a time. In fact, I'll admit it to you, I'm ashamed of myself. I'm a horrible person. I reject my lineage and I resent my skin color. It was the Museum of Tennessee, where you got to learn the history of the state of Tennessee. Pretty interesting. It goes back like 30 million years. That's where they started, was with the evolutionary business. And what gets me about it is, even when they use, because they have to use the language of speculation, even when they give the about approximately, we think that, all of that, they're saying it so authoritatively. 37.48 million years ago in Tennessee, these people were roaming. This is what they hunted with. This is what they ate. This is what they did for running water. Really? We don't know that about 100 years ago, let alone 30 or 40 million years. And then we started to get a little bit closer to contemporary history, at least going back about 500 years. And I think we all agree, nobody is afraid to share all of American history. We're all down with that, right? Even the bad stuff. But that little word, even the, like, that's like honky tonk. Even the bad stuff. Because there was some bad stuff, but there was some good stuff. I just didn't get that impression at the Tennessee Museum. And I thought to myself, if this is what it is like in public school, you think we're dealing with a generation that is struggling because of social media, and every statistic says they are struggling. Just wait until you've had generations indoctrinated with America bad, terrible, awful people. Was just reading It was a study, a survey. It wasn't Lifeway. Wow, I never thought I'd miss a Lifeway survey. At least I can pronounce it. Asking people, would you be willing to fight if we were invaded like Ukraine? The majority of people said, maybe. I think like 50-some percent said yeah. Interestingly, Democrats seem to have a lower number that they were willing to actually fight for our country. And by the way, speaking of Democrats, ran into a billboard. I didn't, you know, run into it, but there were oodles of billboards between Atlanta, Chattanooga, and Nashville. And as long as I'm on a diversion from the subject matter, let's take another exit, shall we? Chattanooga is a groovy town. It is improving. Every time I go there, it's like, hey, this place is getting pretty neat. It's cleaned up. There's a lot of foot traffic, not like Nashville, but there's a lot of folks there, and it seems to be vibrant. So to the city council, I say, well done. But if you could work on your one highway that takes you through Chattanooga, it's not that I'm bitter that we had to stop for about an hour going each way every single time. If you could do something about that, you might actually find yourself with more visitors. It's that bad where it's like, no, do we have to go to Nashville because we got to drive through Chattanooga? So to the city council, keep up the good work, but get on the road system. So the billboards in and out of Chattanooga, so many Christian billboards. And there were two basic genres of billboards. It seems that there's one 800 number company ministry that wants you to call them. And so they put up billboards about Jesus. And some of them were actually just fine. Thank you very much. Some of them, not so much. For instance, you had the billboard that would say, lacking purpose, Jesus will give it to you. Stressed out, Jesus will calm you. Are those statements true? They absolutely are. Is that the message, though, that we want to send to the world? Well, yes and no. We've got to do it very, very carefully. The benefits of the gospel versus the gospel itself needs to have a line drawn through it so that we can wisely use the benefits of the gospel, but we don't want to use the fruit as a draw card to the gospel. You can persuade somebody to come to Jesus because they're lacking purpose, which, by the way, this generation seems to be having a struggle with that subject. Jimmy, I think we're on our third exit ramp right now.
Okay.
This billboard, it talks about the fruit, and there were many of them, but it doesn't really explain that you should come to Jesus because of Jesus. It's more like, you know what, I'm lacking purpose. I think I'll give Jesus a try. Now, I know it was just a billboard, but just like church signs and bumper stickers, we need to be careful and thoughtful with the message that we're sending. And it did tend to make Jesus look a little bit like a cosmic vending machine, dispensing things that'll make you feel better and help you cope throughout life. But then the other billboard that kind of struck me, and it did the last time I was driving through Chattanooga, it's on Highway 75, up where all the carpet is made. Dalton, those places, it's just like Carpet City right there, manufacturing and sales. The billboard said, every tongue will confess, and then really huge letters, Jesus is Lord. So far, so good. Wait a second. They should have put a period right there. Instead, it was a comma. Even the Democrats. Oh.
Technically, it's not wrong.
Just not sure it's a great evangelistic strategy. Back to the Tennessee Museum we go, where we were getting simply bombarded with messages that white people have done nothing but oppress. They've done nothing but conquer. And I'm all for sharing history where bad things were done. I am, but a little context sure would be nice. For instance, in all of the presentations, and it went on from section after section, starting about 500 years ago, how white people, they came in and they just took over and did terrible things. Nothing else. Nothing else. Furthermore, it didn't mention anything like, that's kind of the way the people dealt with land back then. They fought for it, and the person who was strongest wins and gets to keep the land. None of that. Instead, it was all about how terrible white European males are for coming to this country and displacing a people group. Now, I am certain you don't have any difficulties in saying that was that there was some atrocious behavior. There was some bad behavior. Now, the way that they would justify it back then, it would be by saying, but we're bringing good things to this land. Even so, those good things were not focused on in this particular presentation at the Tennessee Museum. Instead, it was a complete beating. And I couldn't help but think, oofta. That's right. I said oofta. That's a Southern slogan now. I heard it. Now, I've never heard it down here. Oofta, the drubbing that our kids must be receiving in public schools. You wait for another generation to be indoctrinated with America is terrible, so terrible, we're not even willing to fight for it, according to a recent poll that said half of Americans, they'd probably just leave rather than defend from a foreign invader. You just wait for the next generation. It's going to be interesting when you've got citizens that actually hate their country of origin. But the trip from Nashville, it ain't done yet. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere. This is Wretched Radio. There are brothers and sisters in Ukraine who could use your help right now. Max, the Tomorrow Club's leader in Ukraine, visited us on the telephone to share the need that many believers in eastern Ukraine currently have.
Our focus was children evangelism, and right now we have to walk away from that and really serve those families who had to escape. Our Tomorrow Club leaders in the West trying to meet the needs of those families. It's a good opportunity to show Christ to them in this time of trial.
Pretty unlikely that you can visit Ukraine to help those brothers and sisters, but there are hands and feet on the ground, the Tomorrow Club leaders helping out brothers and sisters in need in Ukraine. To learn more about how you can help and support the Tomorrow Clubs, who we hope will quickly return to children evangelism, learn more at tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
How would you like to be considered the second smartest person on the planet behind this guy?
Okay,
maybe that was a bad example, but what I'm trying to say is becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner is one of the wisest decisions you'll ever make. Gospel Partners Media is a 501c3 nonprofit, meaning all financial gifts are tax deductible. But other than that, why should you consider becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? Simple, because it's your gifts that help us create compelling gospel-centered content that reach millions of people all over the world. And we're members in good standing with the ECFA, the financial accountability folks who audit our books yearly to keep us transparent and accountable to our gospel partners. And 83% of every dollar you give goes directly to ministry. So would you prayerfully consider partnering with us at Gospel Partners Media? Just visit wretched.org/donate to get complete details. We think it's one of the wisest investments you can make. wretched.org/donate.
Let's visit a preborn life center in action.
Look at that baby. Abortion pill reversal actually works. That's a beating heart. Oh, look how small it is.
Tell me, that doesn't encourage you to consider supporting preborn.org/wretched. $28 purchases a free ultrasound for a mommy who will choose life. It is indeed about saving babies' lives via $28 ultrasounds, but it is also sharing the gospel so that moms and dads get saved. Would you please consider supporting preborn centers with as many free ultrasounds as you can? $28 for an ultrasound 80% of the time saves a life. Learn more at preborn.org/wretched.
Know your church fathers. Athanasius was the bishop of Alexandria in the 4th century. He was a champion of the church's fight against Arianism and was a chief author of the Nicene Creed. However, his orthodoxy did not equal popularity. Athanasius was exiled no less than 5 times, but Athanasius chose to honor God instead of man.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
I've been to Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto, Winslow,
Sarasota, Ottawa,
Oklahoma, Tampa, Panama, Mattawa, Lava,
this is
Baltimore, Salvador, Amarillo,
Wretched Radio. Hoofda visited Nashville. If you ain't been there, it is a really nice city. It is a exploding populace. Well, not the people themselves, but the numbers. Oodles of people moving to the Nashville area. I can see why. It has got a different pace than, I don't know, say Atlanta or other really big cities. It just feels a little bit calmer, except for, wow, the Tennessee drivers. This, can you stereotype an entire people group? And the answer is sort of. You can.
Absolutely.
Because Paul did it. Did he not? These Cretans, they're lazy beasts, said a secular poet. And I agree with that. Does that mean everybody was a lazy beast? No, but it tended to typify that people group. And in Tennessee, I'm just telling you, if you're from Tennessee, if I could share this, just because there's more than 6 inches between two bumpers, That doesn't mean
open space
that you should just cut right in there.
It's open space, baby.
It is so distinctive of Tennessee. This happened last time I was there. That's Atlanta. We got our own stuff here. It's the polite driving that makes me bonkers. I know that sounds counterintuitive, but people just break the rules, the laws, in order to accommodate somebody. No. Just, you got the right turn. Just take it. Take it. I've got to yield. That means you don't have to stop if you've got a green arrow. Please stop being so polite. You cause car accidents. And in Tennessee, I'm telling you, you leave an inch and they will smash a vehicle into it. Let me just put it this way. I've seen more distancing between people at Grace Community Church. Okay, that's what I'm saying here. I think that made sense.
It did. Have you ever been on the roads in another country and see how they drive?
Sure.
That's how it is in Tennessee.
Another country.
Yeah, well, I mean, just people get so close to each other.
It's really startling. So if you're from the state of Tennessee, repent and stop doing that, please. Learned all kinds of stuff when I was there. The Tennessee Museum, which had some interesting stuff to show. I was a little surprised. Elvis only got a little bit of sliver of space in the contemporary part of history, which we have far more of. But boy, did we spend a lot of time on the history of Tennessee and just how white people have been so horrible, so terrible, so conquering, so mean. And were there mean things done? Yes. Yes, there were. But there's just no context. There's no historical narrative surrounding the events. This is an issue that we will see, I think, for a long time to come until we start getting a better handle on how to deal with the past. This chronological snobbery and this selective history telling. Go back and pick. Well, this person did this, and then their ancestor did that, and the great-great-great-grandchild did this. Therefore, everybody in the country is terrible. It's just really, really disturbing to show how it is pitting people against white people. This will not end well. I'll say it again for the sake of clarity. Yes, atrocities, we can even say that, were committed. There's no denying it. But can we at least spend some time trying to explain why? Now, for instance, these days people are so hypersensitive, you can't even explain anything even like this without being accused of being, well, probably racist. But the Trail of Tears, where Native Americans were booted out and moved to the West. Now, I don't know the man's heart, but Andrew Jackson did that, he claimed, because he was concerned that the Native Americans might be wiped out if they stay in the East. So he actually thought it was an act of kindness. Now, did he? I don't know. I do know that he was a Calvinistic Presbyterian. That's the way the lady at Hermitage, it's his estate. If you get a chance and you're anywhere near Nashville, please go to it. It's outstanding.
Very nice.
It was, how many things from different tours of museums or homes do you recall? I'll never forget being in the little parlor in the back of the house of Andrew Jackson's mansion. And the lady saying he was a Calvinistic Presbyterian, which I thought was redundant, who daily did devotionals, reading the Bible and praying with his family in this room. Interesting. And then I walk out the back door and see the slave quarters. Okay, hold it. Am I suggesting that chattel slavery was good? Not even remotely so. But to not give any sort of context, understand people, how they thought, what they had inherited, what they were dealing with, other events that were going on at the time, is to simply be rotten historians. And speaking of being rotten historians, I think that you and I are needing to do some assessment as to what sort of data I consume. Now, no doubt you've heard plenty of screeds on this subject about news and disinformation, but when I was in Nashville and I had the chance to do some reading and checking up on what's going on, I was struck by story after story that was refuted. Nope, that didn't happen. Oh, okay. Hey, that guy did this. And then the guy comes on and goes, no, I didn't. Here's the court case that proves I'm in it. Oh, okay. Never. The disinformation is staggering. I was in the kitchen here at the ministry, and I think it was, I can't recall, one of the guys in production was saying that in Ukraine, apparently on the first day of the attacks, a Ukrainian pilot was able to shoot down 12 MiGs, 12 Russian planes. And as soon as he finished saying that, several people went, no, that disinformation. No, that actually didn't happen. Just like that, you're told this and then suddenly it's that. And if you're not paying total attention to every single news outlet, you don't know what is true from what is false. And I think that we need to consider, I'll tell you, I don't envy Jimmy these days. Because the disinformation that is flying around out there
for sure
is just absolutely frightening is what it is. And as long as we're on the subject of what we consume regarding information and disinformation, currently there are a number of stories that do appear to be pretty negative for a number. There's at least three that I can think of. High-profile preachers that are having accusing fingers pointing at them to say, aha, what did you do there? And the answer is, I don't know, because I only get one side of the story. And then when the other group comes out to explain in their defense what they actually did, you may or may not hear about that. I know this doesn't make any sense, but it just seems to me that news reporting should be after the fact, not prior to, but if it goes to court or if it's adjudicated in some way or if there's some sort of Christian mediation that takes place, then let's wait for the answer and let's wait for the flushing out of the issue. But I want to be really, really careful. Proverbs 18:17. That the one side of the story, it seems right. Then you hear the other side. Oh, maybe that's a little bit different and I didn't. And we need to practice that, I think, a lot these days. Now, if you happen to be thinking, oh, you're just saying that because the guys that are in question here are all good guys that I like. No, one of them is. The other two are not. And I'm not going to share the sordid details of the accusations made against them because, to date, they are just that. And each of them are saying, no, didn't do it. That's not what happened. Okay. What's the truth? I don't know. I just know that I want to be a little bit more thoughtful about how much news I consume and actually let inform me and affect my, dare I say, countenance, I'm not sure that we were meant to know as much as we do. I know we've got stories in the Bible. The news was delivered to the king. So if something happens way away and then the king gets the report, or the town hears the report and they respond accordingly. You and I get that 1,000 times a day in kingdoms that have nothing to do with us. And I just wonder how much of that I need to consume. Furthermore, the whip it up length stories. Hey, look at this going on. We got to do something. And then what do they tell us to do? Nothing. They just get us agitated and whipped up. And then we're left just, you got to do something. This country's falling apart. The Democrats. I don't know if you read the billboard, but they've got some issues. This is an era that is filled with news and information. You figure out your filter. I'll figure out mine. But I do believe it is incumbent upon us to at least have some sort of filter. This is Wretched Radio.
Names of God. One name the Bible gives to God is the Greek word despotes, which means absolute ruler. Despotes is related to the English word despot. As absolute ruler, God has ownership rights over all mankind. Yet our Master and Lord Jesus Christ became a man, suffered and died on the cross for his people. The absolute ruler is also our example of ultimate humility. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Lessons in courage and tone. This is Wretched Radio. If you're not familiar with Allie Beth Stuckey, she's been on the scene for a couple of years now. A conservative Christian commentator who appears on Blase TV, owned by Glenn Beck, recently produced a video that is downright courageous. Why? Because she was willing to be critical and non-congratulatory toward a very popular coworker who is going to be having a baby with his husband. Okay, let me just explain that. Dave Rubin is considered a conservative talk show host, quite popular on the internet machine. He's married to a man, and they are having a child via surrogacy. It's not easy understanding people having babies these days, is it? He's on the same network as Allie Beth Stuckey. And her video was titled, Why I Cannot Congratulate My Coworker Dave Rubin. Wow. You talk about an invitation to be canceled or doxxed. Allie Beth Stuckey showing a great deal of courage by standing firm in her biblical beliefs that marriage is one man, one woman, and that babies should happen through that procreative act between husband and wife. Furthermore, not only do I think she's courageous, I think we can learn a lesson in tone from her. She spends 16 minutes laying out why biblically, socially, morally, she is opposed to this. And I think that her tone is so stellar. We're not going to listen to the whole thing. I'll just bop through it rather randomly because she maintains that tone throughout the course of her 16-minute presentation where she is critical against somebody who is in a very protected class these days. And she does it in a way you can't. There's just no way you can perceive that Allie Beth doesn't care for Dave Rubin. You cannot perceive that she's hateful, that she's bigoted, whatever the phobia is that you have these days. None of that. So let's learn a lesson in courage and tone from Allie Beth Stuckey.
I have been on Dave's show where I have told him explicitly what I believe and why about marriage and sexuality. I have already talked to Dave privately about this situation, about how while I believe that he and his husband will make great dads, I cannot in good conscience send my congrats. It's hard trying to balance how to love someone and to show them that you support them in certain ways while also staying true to your values and representing those values honestly. So I'm going to give four reasons why I could not congratulate Dave either publicly or privately, even though I like him a lot and think that he is a great person. I will.
That is not an easy act that Ellie Beth Stuckey is attempting. This is a high wire routine that you are listening to. How do I express that I care for somebody, I love somebody, and yet I disagree with somebody, and here's why. Speaking truth in love is the issue here. I think Ellie Beth did a pretty fine job of finding that balance.
Also answered the question about how I feel about the company that distributes my podcast, Blaze TV, publicly sending a congratulations about this.
By the way, she just simply said, I disagree. That was it. I disagree. And I'm grateful that they still let me say that I disagree without canceling her yet. Furthermore, I discovered in reading her comments that are open on the YouTube. I can imagine doing something like that. Somebody left a comment that Dennis Prager also congratulated Dave Rubin. So Glenn Beck, the Mormon, Dennis Prager, a Jewish man, congratulating Dave Rubin on having a surrogate child. Well, that's telling, isn't it? And that is why I would simply remind you, when you are listening to any political commentator who's not a Christian, you're going to get stuff that isn't either complete or is downright wrong. Case in point.
That, let me just say, because I know there's always speculation about this kind of thing, Blaze TV has never told me what I can or can't say.
That's good to hear. I'm going to fast forward because she gets into her theological reasons why she disagrees. This might be abrupt.
Fact of the matter is that scripture spells it out really clearly. Not only is homosexuality explicitly prohibited in scripture, as in Romans 1:26 through 27, that's just one example, but the Bible also positively defines marriage in one way, as between a man and a woman. I like to use an alliteration to help me.
This is helpful.
Why the definition of marriage is so important according to scripture. So here it is. The definition of marriage is between a man and a woman in the Bible is rooted in creation. It is reiterated throughout scripture. It's repeated by Jesus himself. It is representative of Christ in the church. And in that way, it is reflective of the gospel. So
that's excellent. It begins in the garden. Don't forget, ooh, the themes of the Bible. Just think of all of the wonderful themes that we see. Themes like trees, kings, relationships, and even the creation. Trees, rivers. And this is another demonstration of the consistency and the supernatural nature of the Bible. We see in the very beginning a marriage between a husband and wife. What do you see at the very end of the Bible? A marriage between our Savior and the church, bookending the Bible. Marriage begins in creation. It's reiterated throughout the Bible. You don't see an example of an endorsed relationship being same-sex anywhere in Scripture. Jesus in Matthew 19:4, he very clearly stated, without saying it the way people would like these days, that marriage is between one man and one woman, period. So Jesus did speak on the issue. Furthermore, you have got it clearly condemned as a sin in Romans chapter 1. And then you see in Ephesians chapter 5 that the gospel is what is presented when a husband plays the role of Jesus, the woman plays the role of the church. It is a picture of the gospel. Well done from Ellie Beth Stuckey. I'm going to bop forward again. Just listen to the tone.
Whose they are, from where they come, and intentionally prohibiting them from doing that, in my opinion, is wrong. Number three, this goes with number two. Children are not social experiments. Every single person on the planet right now, every single person that has ever lived throughout human history has a biological.
Now, if I were going to say that, here's my inclination. Kids are not social experiments. That's not the way she delivered it. Was she being liberal or squishy? Clearly not. I think she's being extremely courageous. She's just not saying it like she's annoyed with the people who are committing these social experiments.
Across time and cultures, this has been the family. It takes an insane amount of hubris for us to think today that we can completely rearrange the family and that it would have no consequences, especially for the most vulnerable party, which is children. We have no idea the extent of the long-term repercussions of intentionally taking a child away from their biological mom.
Oh, well, yes, we do. Sorry, but I would say, yeah, actually we do. It's an understudied field called reactive attachment disorder, when children are traumatized when they are taken away from their birth mother. That needs more science, if you will, but the implications of detaching a child from its bio parents, it's long term. It's lifelong. They can learn how to cope with it, but they can never be cured of it.
Two men hiring a surrogate where you are buying eggs from one woman, you are renting the womb of another woman, and then you are taking the child away from both the biological mom and the woman who has carried them. I don't think we've even begun to see the potential impact of that. We know that children in the womb can be affected by the trauma and the stress that is experienced by the woman who...
I'm going to fast forward this so you can see. This is now we are 10 minutes and 57 seconds in. She doesn't sound angry, does she? She just sounds like she's stating the truth in love.
To endure the physical, mental, emotional trauma of those experiences, women's wombs should not be for rent by rich strangers.
And okay. That was a very powerful critique of Dave Rubin, somebody she works with, somebody that she would call a friend. She summarizes everything and then concludes with stating that she still cares about him. Let's strive to speak truth in love. And to that I say, I think she did a pretty fine job of modeling that. Jimmy, if you had to give Allie Beth Stuckey a grade, what would you say?
How am I grading? What's the scale here?
Tone. A, B, C, D,
Okay. I give her an A for sure.
Yeah, I thought she did a bang-up job. It is not easy to do, but I think that we have a demonstration courtesy of Allie Beth Stuckey on courage and tone. Well done, Allie Beth. This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for joining us on Wretched Radio today. Question, do you ever sit back and reflect on what your life was like 5, 10, 15, even 20 minutes ago? Yeah, me neither. There's too much going on in the present to waste time reflecting on the past. And that, unfortunately, is the mindset of culture today. Of course, it's actually beneficial to reflect on the past, especially past episodes of Wretched TV and Radio, which can be found organized nice and neat at wretched.org. You'll also find over 40 amazing resources in the Wretched store, which coincidentally, we're all produced and written in the past. Imagine that. You can learn in the present from things produced in the past. And thanks to the ongoing support of our gospel partners, we have been able to continue talking about the greatest event that ever happened in the past, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We sure would love and cherish your prayers and support as we use the things of the past to affect lives in the present and future. So if any of this made any sense to you whatsoever, visit us online right now at wretched.org/donate.
Hey, Tomorrow Club supporter, this message from Paul Marty, the director of the Tomorrow Clubs, is just for you.
You know, it's been more than 25 years now since my wife Cindy first brought leaders and kids together for the very first Tomorrow Club. Hundreds of thousands of lives have been touched. We're grateful for all the ways you help kids in forsaken places learn to follow Jesus.
Thank you for your support of the Tomorrow Club's $30 a month Disciples 30 Kids in Eastern Europe and now in Africa, where Tomorrow Clubs anticipates they could be opening up 100 new clubs in a year. Would you please consider becoming a Tomorrow Club supporter? Kids clubs that meet in forsaken places, they get love down, they hear the gospel, they memorize Bible verses, and they're getting saved. To support your own Tomorrow Club, please visit tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
So what do you get when you mix a group of Gen Z college students and a group of biblical experts together with 2,000-year-old questions? Well, of course, you get Road Trip to Truth. John Fabares has hit the road on a quest to find answers to life's biggest questions like environmentalism, social Darwinism, the deadly impact of pornography, and the dangers of agnosticism. Those are just a few of the topics covered in Season 2 of Road Trip to Truth, which is available now at roadtriptotruth.org. Season 1 is also available, along with study guides for each season and a homeschool curriculum. Road Trip to Truth helps your children better understand questions from the world from a biblical perspective, and it will help you learn how to witness more effectively to this generation. So grab your copy of Season 1 and 2 of Road Trip to Truth at roadtriptotruth.org.
Important dates in Christian history. 325 AD. The Council of Nicaea was called to address debates perplexing the church, primarily concerning the nature of Jesus. The Nicene Creed was drafted and is still one of the standards of orthodoxy among Christians. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's debunk, shall we? This is Wretched Radio. The folks over at Reasons for Hope, you can find them at R-F-O-R-H. See what they did there? R-F-O-R-H, reasonforhope.com. You'll find apologetics materials. They travel the country teaching apologetics and preaching the gospel. And they regularly turn out debunked videos, which you can also find at debunked.org. Debunked.org. Tackling the subject very quickly, the way Carl Kirby tends to do it, on the issue of CRT.
The great Thomas Sowell once said, "Everything is new if you are ignorant of history." That is why ideas that have failed repeatedly in centuries past reappear again, under the banner of change, to dazzle people and sweep them off their feet. With that said, I'd like to talk about critical race theory, or CRT as we now call it. What is it exactly? And more importantly, is it a biblical concept, as many progressive pastors and influencers have claimed? Well, perhaps. But then again, maybe it's more akin to an emotional outburst based on a fictional narrative camouflaged in the sophisticated language and the redefining of classical terms by the so-called critical theory experts, with its Marxist subtext spun cleverly by the brainwashing media and shamelessly proselytized by the self-proclaimed enlightened gurus of our time, whose slogans, sayings, and acronyms get splattered across our smart devices by the ever-so-popular thumb-tapping social justice warriors, who like some Frankfurtian Molotov cocktail exploded onto the scene using quasi clever rhetoric that's heavily promoted by woke influencers and the virtue signaling celebrities of our time.
Now, I'm not sure exactly where Carl stands on this subject, but I'm starting to get some hints. That's why I told you, you need to listen very quickly to Carl. He's going to blast through the unbiblical premises of critical race theory. This might be a helpful video to send along to people who are not exactly sure what this whole clam bake is about, because it's animated, got cool graphics, all that jazz. And they might, for the first time here, this stuff that is seeping its way into the church is not biblical.
Oh, I know. Let's throw out some facts and compare things to scripture so you can make your own decision. In a nutshell, CRT is against whiteness, and their trumpet blowers attempt to persuade all who might hear their loud blast that America, and any country like her, is a white, racist, oppressive society.
Learned that at the Tennessee Museum the other day. The entire exhibit was bent on making sure that everybody understood white European males are bad. That's its fundamental premise, but it doesn't end there. It also applies itself. And incidentally, this pervasive theory, which has made its way through not only academia, not only through law offices, legal theory, it's made its way into the church. Just saw an interview. I sure wish I could remember the fellow's name. He's an Anglican priest, I believe is what they call them. And he is, it's his belief, a very calm fellow, that he's being drubbed out of the Anglican communion because his statement was that the Anglican leadership is just as progressively woke as what you will see in government academia. Whoa. But it's also made its way into the evangelical community. At least it's tried to make some inroads, and it probably has at least come knocking on the door of your church. Why should you say, sorry, I don't even need to look through the peephole to send you packing?
All whites, whether they know it or not, understand it or not, don't want to be, have never been, and claim not to be, are still indeed racist. You are, if you are white, in the language of CRT, part of the group of oppressors. And all others, all non-whites, that is, are the oppressed. That's why all policies and practices, all ideas and institutions, all enterprises and exercises, wherever there is or was whiteness, there is and must have been racism. Therefore, it all has to come tumbling down.
That is happening. And that is why you maybe recall this was perhaps a year or two ago. I'm not sure why I was just possessed by Mr. Ed. But you remember reading that it was, Jimmy, do you remember what university it was? Was it Princeton that was one of the elites teaching that of all of the things that are now considered racist, like language, punctuality, mathematics? In other words, 2 + 2 = 4 is racist. Why? Math was, it wasn't created by, it was discovered by white people. Therefore, it's bad. Punctuality, presumably, is a white construct. Therefore, we need to stop expecting people to be on time. Do you remember that? This explains why that is. Anything that is connected to white has got to go. Now, are they consistent in this? No, it's very selective, because if everything white in Western civilization were removed, we'd have to tear down and virtually just so much. Not everything, of course, because there's certainly people with different skin colors who have contributed, but the vast majority of people in Western civilization have indeed been white. And therefore, if we're going to remove everything white, you're going to remove an unsustainable amount of, well, virtually everything.
But is the theory and practice thereof based on biblical principles? No. And here's why. First of all, the Bible unquestionably asserts that there is only one race, the human race. Acts 17:26 declares, "And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth." It is, in fact, the teaching of evolution that says there are different races, and the more highly evolved you are, the more important you are. That's even clear in the title of Darwin's infamous book, On the Origin of Species by Means of Natural Selection, or The Preservation of Favored Races and the Struggle for Life. Look it up. Point is, any system, movement, or cause that tries to separate human beings made in God's image into different races and uses that as a device to divide us is fundamentally flawed and unbiblical. Secondly, CRT removes the sin of the individual and puts it onto a system or a group. This, again, is contrary to Scripture, because God holds accountable the individual who is prideful. God holds accountable the individual who harbors hate in his heart. These sins are the root cause of racism, and these, not the color of someone's skin, are the things that need to be addressed if you are seeking true change. A number trace, CRT's solution to oppression is more oppression, or as some might say, they want to stop racism by using racism. That ain't right. Scripture commands, do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling. Fourthish, CRT doesn't really look at behavior as much as it does skin color. And with that, long gone is the dream of civil rights leader Martin Luther King Jr. that his children would not be judged by the color of their skin, but on the content of their character. According to CRT, you are to be judged precisely because of the color of your skin. Racism in CRT is all about white oppressive power structures. And of course, all things they define as power structures must be obliterated. Defund the police, tear down the nuclear family, dismantle marriage, destroy capitalism, rip up statues, divide our children as early as elementary school. Oh, come on, wait a minute now, you say. That's going a bit too far, and what do you know? You're just a white man talking so fast we can't even follow along. Okay, I'll slow it down, and I'll bring in Ty Smith, a black man who studied this topic in depth, then stood up at an Illinois school board meeting and said CRT is, and I quote, pretty much going to be teaching our kids how to hate each other, how to dislike each other, and it's pretty much what it's all going to come down to. He added in a later interview, and I quote again, it is a complete lie. Not one white person or system in place kept me from doing what I did. Number five, to claim that somebody is something that he or she is not, or to say a nation or system is something it is not, or that there is little to no evidence of, is bearing false witness, which flies in the face of the Ninth Commandment, which flatly states, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. It's also slander, but since that's a subunit underlying, I'll count this as one. And finally, Ephesians commands, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. But CRT would have us hold on to our wrath and let our anger fuel the cause, so to speak. So then, since the gospel is about salvation, kindness, mercy, peace, truth, unity, love, justice, and freedom, if a movement or cause or agenda or ideology or the fruit of such things is about enslavement, bitterness, wrath, anger, lies, slander, hatred, injustice, and oppression, then it stands in open rebellion against the word of God. And therefore, it won't work. To defeat racism, as the word is commonly used, we need to hate evil, love what is good, and establish justice, as it says in Amos 5. We need to confront the sins of hatred and pride in ourselves and others, repent, and embrace, teach, and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. All other methods will fail. Period. So don't buy into worldly philosophies or empty deceit, as Colossians warns us, which is to say, don't buy into critical race theory, and especially don't buy into the claim that it is based on biblical doctrine or derived from biblical principles in any way, shape, or form, because that, my fellow image bearers, has been debunked. Adios.
I'm exhausted. That's like listening to Ben Shapiro on speed. That's from Reasons for Hope, RFORH.com, or just go to debunked.org. You might want to share this, pass it around to your friends, share it with church members, because something that is so anti-biblical, anti-gospel, it simply cannot be allowed into the church in any way, shape, or form. I'm hoping that the tide is slowly shifting on that. I just don't know that it is, as it continues to make inroads into the Christian church where it has absolutely no place. Besides, we have the biblical solution. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation, and so are the other people who are in Christ with him or her. The mystery has been revealed that Jew and Gentile can both believe in God, love one another, because we have both been brought near. It's only the preaching of the gospel and the prophetic voice of the church saying that attitude is sin and you need to repent, not embrace critical race theory. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.